Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to goldradio.fm. Available online at HouseStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to GoldRadio.fm, podcasting in 0.99995. I'm Jim Goddard. My guest is Jim Willey, founder of the Hat Trick Letter online at golden-jackass.com. Jim, welcome back to GoldRadio.fm and Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you. I think this is... This year has the potential for being a very positive turnaround year, but with extraordinary danger and risk.
How are things at the Hat Trick Letter as we start the new year, and how can people sign up for it?
Things are going well with the Hat Trick Letter. I've had a good recovery in the last year from a payment processor transition, and they are not easy to do, not at all. So I've survived a very tough summer of 2021, the summer of 2021. Yeah. Anyway, it's the golden-jackass.com, www.golden-jackass.com. Going very well. The consult function within the business is doing very well. A recent show in October resulted in a flood of consulting orders from a very different group. And I'm excited about the prospects for the future, but I'm very guarded, Jim, about the risk, because this is much worse than dealing with a wounded bear. This is like dealing with the transition with a group of wounded monsters. These are the Davos banker cabal, the elite, the globalists. They're monsters. They're much bigger and more powerful than bears. Bears are kid toys compared to what these monsters are capable of doing. I have had a concern for the last, well, let me just say that somewhere between April and September, I had a major concern for a false flag nuclear event somewhere near Poland and Ukraine. And it did not happen. And I said to a number of my most trusted, intelligent colleagues, if we don't get a false flag nuclear event by October, then it will never happen. But we'll have different risks for destroying the global economy. That's what these monsters are trying to do now. I mean, the saying of you'll be poor, but you'll be happy, that's not far from what they are close to achieving. We are in danger right now, and I'd like to just, in my preamble, I'd like to recite a short list. That's actually not very short. These are all problematic areas for life on the planet. We have a problem with the human species and its chromosome DNA structure. We have a problem with the birds and the insects, and soon the livestock might all be vaccinated if we're not careful, which means that if you eat meat of any kind, you're likely to get the spike proteins and eventually get sick and eventually contract much worse illnesses. That's not all. We have a problem with the voting systems. We have a problem with the health of the planet, health of the humans, the immune system. We have a problem with the food. There's not just poison put in food, but there's human cannibal meat put in food. We have a problem with the gender definition, and it's not like, well, you have a baby and, you know, the teachers can help the child to decide what gender it is. No, it's a gender at birth. We have a problem with businesses, with the labor force. They're fat, they're dumb, they're drug addicted, and they're not educated properly. So it's like a perfect situation for artificial intelligence taking control of the planetary labor force. We have a problem with religious choice. They're trying to force one religion on the planet. We have a problem with politics. People don't even know what capitalism, what liberty, what fascism, what Marxism. They don't know anything anymore. We're calling fascism now democracy. We don't even know what political structures are. We are becoming a planetary race of dumbasses. And we need to wake up, fix the system, get educated, and get back to work. I asked my very well-educated father 3 years before his death, Dad, we got a national problem. We're becoming a fascist state, and the people don't even know what fascism is. I doubt you do either, Dad. And we got into an argument, and he proved to me that he did not know. A Phi Beta Kappa, Ivy League professor of literature, a wonderful man, a fine father, and he did not know what fascism was. That's pathetic. And we're calling the system now democracy, which the Biden regime is trying to defend, and it's fascist from top to bottom. The people are becoming dumbasses, and they need to wake up, get educated, and get back to work. Okay, that's the end of my little preamble.
Stock markets for the first half of the new year, are you bullish or bearish?
You know, just about everything, Jim, is on a knife's edge right now. If we have true equilibrium imposed upon the stock market, it's going to go down at least 40%, maybe as much as 60%. But we don't have equilibrium imposed on the stock market. There's not a lot of savings to chase and form demand for stock purchases. So it relies on funny money and the New York Fed. If we have interest rate hikes to continue, we're going to have more and more pressure unrelenting on the stock market for more declines. I know this is two questions ahead, but it would have been better to have the interest rate question combined with this. If we have more interest rate hikes, we have a tremendous problem continuing with the stock market and with the bond market. And with interest rate swap derivatives, and with the solvency of big banks. I believe that for the last several months, the Fed has been defending the dollar and foreign holders of our treasury bond debt. They have not been defending the economy. They've been defending a global factor in multinational savings accounts held in treasury bonds, otherwise known as Forex reserves. In the form of treasury bonds. I've got a wild card forecast, Jim, that we're going to see interest rate decline, cuts. We're going to see cuts in the interest rate in the next few months. They might try one more interest rate hike, and then they're going to cut and do so desperately, because defending the dollar internationally with the community of nations with their Forex reserves carries a risk of destroying and undermining and exploding the $700 trillion worth of interest, well, of derivatives, which are dominated by interest rate swap derivatives. The interest rate swap contracts are at risk if they continue to defend the dollar internationally. So defending it internationally will destroy like 10 big banks in the West. One in Germany, one in France, a couple in England, and five or six in the United States. They cannot continue to raise interest rates and get away with it. The derivatives will destroy the system. So I think we're going to see interest rate cuts, and with that we might see a rather surprising stock market rally, which has no basis in economic reality or major corporate profitability. None at all. No connection at all. But I learned a long time ago. It's called the Federal Reserve Model, the Fed Investment Model. Anyway, it's something Fed model. I can't remember the exact name, but it's the Fed model. And it says that the S&P 500 is inversely related to the Treasury bond 10-year bond yield. So if they increase interest rates they have to see an increase in the 10-year bond yield, which is now it's scaring the hell out of a lot of people. It's almost over 4%. If it goes over 4% on the 10-year bond yield, Jim, we got some major problems. And it's going to be seen in the form of destroyed big banks from the derivatives. The interest rate swap derivatives, which are leveraged between 50 and 100 to 1. Imagine a bond loss. Well, yeah, you know, you got 5, 10% bond loss. Well, now multiply it by 50 or 100 times. And that's what we're dealing with these interest rate swap derivatives. I guarantee you, 95% of the investment public does not know what an interest rate swap derivative is or does or how they came into being. Okay.
Your thoughts on the U.S. dollar?
I've said for 5, 6, 7 years, the dollar will rise, then rise some more before it vanishes. I've gotten dozens of compliments for that forecast in the last 18 months because notice that all the other currencies are in decline versus the dollar. The secondary currencies, for example, the peso of Chile, it's way down. It went down 40% in just the first few months of 2022. It's going to take a little bit of time for me to get used to the year 2023 as the present. Okay, we have seen recently, I mean in the last month or two, indications that the U.S. dollar is in a decline. And that is very real. To me, what that means, Jim, is that foreigners are selling the treasury bond in their savings account, otherwise known as their Forex reserves. Like South Korea, they might have $150 billion worth of U.S. treasury bond. They're selling them. They're dumping them. The Japanese are dumping them, 10 to 15 billion a month. Okay, foreigners are dumping their treasury bond. They're dumping their U.S. government debt securities that are considered AAA, when, in my opinion, they're not even B minus. We've got a debt default in progress unless there's a rabbit to pull out of the hat where the entire U.S. government debt is canceled and paid off by confiscated elite assets. That's a rumor going around. No way to confirm it. None at all. Okay, the U.S. dollar is in a big risk situation right now for foreigners selling U.S. treasury bonds and discarding, disrupting, eliminating, and eradicating the global dollar reserve system. That's the risk. Everything is on a knife's edge right now, Jim. Everything.
Do gold and silver look like they could break out to the upside?
Very much yes. And one needs to examine the many factors which are at work for a lift in the gold and silver prices. For instance, I'll just, you know, rattle off a list. And these are all, you know, very real, very important, and present day. The COMEX might possibly be in a position now where the big banks have flipped and gone long. And they're not talking about it. They realize that a big change and transition is in progress. Okay, I've got a number of factors that all relate to gold and silver to the upside. The BRICS plus Union of Nations, you know, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, okay, they're adding nations, and the two biggest ones recently, in my opinion, are Iran and Saudi Arabia, which have declared peace because the United States is not in the room anymore with their poodle, the Israelis, constantly causing friction. Okay, the BRICS are now declaring peace in the Gulf region with Iran and Saudi Arabia and UAE and Qatar and Oman. They're all declaring peace and joint cooperation. They do not use the dollar in trade settlement. They plan to use gold, and that's a big story unto itself. We have a decay, I mentioned, in the interest rate swap derivatives. And let me just make a quick point. It's not just treasury bonds with their derivatives that are in trouble. It's the euro dollar in Europe, which is essentially a treasury bond held in a European bank. It's got a bad name. Euro dollar doesn't mean crap to me. It's a European held treasury bond. They didn't want to call it a euro treasury, so they called it a euro dollar. It's dollars held in European banks in the form, usually short-term U.S. treasuries. Okay, there's a euro-dollar derivative problem in Europe. There's a treasury interest rate swap derivative problem in the United States. They're going to cause trillion-dollar holes, and when those holes are more evident, you're going to see gold and silver rise. All right, another factor is Putin. Putin in Russia recently made a declaration, and it was in response to a tremendously lunatic proposal by the Europeans to put a cap on the Russian oil price, which means Russia won't sell them any. You don't tell your supplier what the price is. It works out in the market, or you're told what the supply will be at a price. Anyway, Russia with Putin has mentioned a linkage, potentially, with the crude oil barrel of oil and a gram of gold. Or maybe linking with 2 grams of gold. I don't know. But a linkage. And if that sticks and becomes rooted and becomes widespread in usage, we could see the petrol-gold standard come into play, and that will be a tremendously powerful factor for driving up the gold price. Okay. We have numerous nations, and you know, this is a bit ironic and almost funny. Two small nations, Ghana in Western Africa and Egypt in Northern Africa, are now talking about and implementing plans to pay for oil with gold reserves and no longer use the dollar. And their reasoning is the same. They're having a run on their foreign forex reserve savings accounts. They're having a run on their U.S. treasuries that are used as their forex savings accounts. And they're not short on gold, so they're going to start conforming to the Russian plant of gold for oil. Another factor, Latin American mines are stalled. Many of them are shut down for, you know, you got to giggle when you hear it for the COVID risk. Make me laugh. The workers are at COVID risk. No, they're shutting down production because of a suppressed, artificially low silver price. They need to get back to work, realize that COVID is not a risk, and start producing silver again. And when the production comes on, it's going to be ironic. It's going to be backwards. The silver price will rise because the demand is going to explode. We're on the verge of the London Bullion Market Exchange going bust, and nobody giving a shit about what they declare the gold price to be. And it will be like a conglomeration of Zurich, London, New York, Toronto, South Africa, Johannesburg, Sydney, Australia, Shanghai, Moscow, maybe even Bangkok, maybe Rio de Janeiro. And it'll be a shared, like 10 to 15 different city average of the gold price, and that'll be the new gold fix, and nobody will give a shit about the London LBMA gold fix, which is corrupt and full of insider trading. Last point to raise the gold and silver price, we're going to see the BRICS nations come in full support with Moscow and Shanghai for oil, currency, and gold, and that triangle of futures contracts in full blast usage, with Iran and Saudi Arabia putting their full weight behind it. Okay, those are a lot of very positive points for gold and silver. I'm very bullish on gold and silver because when it's quite clear that big banks have trillion-dollar holes in them, you're going to see a massive flood of demand for gold and silver, and you're going to see a $3,000 gold price, and you're going to see an $80 silver price. And it might not take several months to happen. I mean, it might not take like 18 months. It might take, you know, 6, 8, 10 months. But, you know, I don't like to make timing forecasts because you can never underestimate the banker cabal and the globalists with Davos. You can never underestimate their willingness to destroy economies, destroy systems, kill people, and start wars.
Could the collapse of FTX be the canary in the coal mine for cryptos?
Well, you know, it's certainly a huge indicator, but I wouldn't say, when you say a canary in the coal mine, what you're implying is a disaster for cryptos. I don't see it that way. I see it as a climax for the fraud that has been working against cryptos for the last few years. I mean, they permit these 40, 50, 60% swings, and insiders are dominating and profiting from that. I see FTX as a canary in the coal mine for the Democrat Party, the Ukraine war, and the corruption of big banks and their heavy-handed influence in the crypto market. Not for the end of crypto, but for the liberation of crypto. FTX is a climax event, and there will be a lot of declared and realized losses for investors in crypto. That's not avoidable. There are going to be a lot of lawsuits, but the biggest loser of all might be the Securities and Exchange Commission. They might lose all purview and all regulatory authority over cryptos. While they try to increase it, they might lose all of it.
Do you think Bitcoin was created to usher in central bank digital currencies?
I've given this a lot of thought, but I have to admit something, and I like to be an honest analyst, unlike some. I don't have a perfect knowledge. I mean, I could give you a good answer if I had, you know, really good knowledge like I did, like I do with, you know, mathematical calculus and basic probability theory, but I don't. I've given this a lot of thought, and I've talked a lot with people who are smarter than I am and more studied in this area than I am. And we're of the opinion that Bitcoin was created by DARPA, you know, the research, advanced research wing of the U.S. military. But it got loose. It got out. You know, a lot of people don't realize that email was also a creation of DARPA. And my old company, Digital Equipment Corp, started what was called the Ethernet. We called it the E-Net. I'll send you a message on the E-Net. That was a common comment that I made maybe 500 times in the early 1980s. It got out. Email became standard, and now it's universal. Okay, email had a DARPA origin. Does that make email bad? No. Bitcoin had a DARPA origin. Does that make Bitcoin bad? No, use your head. Bitcoin has become, in the last several years, you know, past 2010, 11, 12, in the last 10 years, 8 years, Bitcoin has become a major avenue for Asians, Pacific Rim and Asia, to send money around the globe without the United States big bankers watching. And they're not going to quit. They actually refined their methods and got into the very small crypto tokens. I was told that one big one was the Shiba Inu from Toshiba to move billions of dollars without the SEC watching. The Pacific Rim is not going to stop that practice. So I see FTX liberating and removing some of the shackles that the discredited Securities and Exchange Commission put on in the last few years, and then we get a liberated situation. And it's going to take time to unwind and develop again. But it's kind of like saying, my gosh, I had a really nice vegetable garden, but we loaded a bunch of dog shit all over it. Well, give it time, and that will become nutrients. And you'll have bigger and badder tomatoes and cucumbers, bigger and badder onions and carrots. Okay, give it time.
Is digital ID the mark of the beast?
I think yes. This does not have a lot of information that one can put on it. So what you have to do as an observer is look to see how they're planning to use it. And they're talking about social credit, the digital currency from the central banks. And you've got to have a good social credit score to have access to money, to have access to the spending ability. In other words, if you don't have the good social credit score, you're going to starve to death and you're going to have all your money stolen. So to me, yeah, that looks like an action of a beast. And therefore, I call the digital ID the mark of the beast, because that's what they're planning to use it for. You got to look at its usage. The digital ID, golly, why isn't the Social Security ID number that I've got, why isn't that considered a mark of the beast? Because they couldn't use it in a manner to starve me to death. But they can with the digital ID. So yeah, it's a mark of the beast.
We're hearing people are having trouble paying rent now. How bad could this economic downturn get?
I think it's going to be 3 to 5 times worse than what we saw at the Lehman. I don't like that name, but people understand what I'm saying when I say the Lehman incident. The 2007-8-9 period, it's often called the global financial crisis. It's even been given the acronym of GFC. But that global financial crisis, that covered the entire globe. I think what we're about to see is a climax. And, you know, you can always make the argument that we've already seen a number of events that indicate that the climax has begun. It's hard to define a climax until after it's over. It's hard to define the height of a climax when it's still rising. So I'm making a forecast that we're going to see the height of this climax 3 to 5 times worse than the Lehman incident, the Lehman event, the Lehman crisis. And that was a doozy. That hit Central America. I gave a number of locals here a good 6 to 12 months advance warning on it, and they all laughed at me. And after a year of the damage, they all looked at me and said, "That was pretty bad, Jim. I don't know how you called that, but nice work. I hope it doesn't happen again." And what I said to them 10 years ago was, it will happen again when the dollar has a sunset, when the dollar dies, when the dollar is replaced, when the Eastern nations gang up on the United States and Western Europe and England and make a new standard. And they said, "When will that happen?" And I said, "I don't know. Maybe sometime like in the late 2010 decade." Well, 2019, we had the bond market explosion with the repos. 2 months later, we had the advent and introduction of the fake virus and the killer vaccine. So that was not a bad forecast. Okay, it's very complicated. I'll probably discuss more in a future question here about how and when the dollar died. Because the dollar's dead. The dollar's a zombie right now. All big banks are zombies in the United States. All the big banks are insolvent. They're dead. They don't meet the Basel III requirements. They're officially bankrupt, and they're kept floating along down that river of shit. It is a sewage river loaded with debt. The economic situation, Jim, is going to get worse. I'm often asked, what will it take to turn it around? Well, it's not a really good formal answer, but the economy will turn around when the big banker powers are put in the ground.
We'll have more with Jim Willie right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Jim Willie. Jim, evidently Tesla is one of the most shorted stocks on the planet. Would you bet against Elon Musk?
I don't really know. You know, I've got a lot of positives and a lot of negatives for Elon Musk. I mean, some of the negatives are the following. His entire Tesla company was funded originally by Langley, which means by narcotics money laundering funds. It was pushed up by the Credit Suisse and the Swiss National Bank, their central bank. The Swiss big bankers were buying U.S. stocks and selling gold. Okay, that is the beneficiary of that was Tesla, in addition to another, you know, several different stocks. They're called the FANG mats. Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google, and then the MAT, Microsoft, what's the other A, Amazon, and Tesla. Okay, their origin was funding from Langley, narcotics. And also he had a side business of SpaceX. and not very well known, but one of the biggest suppliers is the Russians for the rocket engine. Okay, so Tesla is a joint venture with Narcotics of Langley and the Russian high-tech firms. Well, that's a pretty interesting mix. I love the phrase of strange bedfellows. Okay, I don't believe the electric car has any future at all. I know you see futuristic movies where they look like they're electric cars, but I don't think they're going to be electric cars. The batteries are too cumbersome, and the production of the batteries is too difficult. You've got, for 10 or 20 pounds of lithium, you need to dig up 500 tons of ore. I mean, it's just absurd. The production for the lithium battery, of course, there might be better batteries in the near future, but I think what we're going to have is a big, big transition in technology toward hydrogen-powered cars. And the emission is going to be water vapor. You know, how green friendly is that? Okay. On the good side of Elon Musk, he took over Twitter. And I know there's still some dispute on whether they have continuing, censorship and shadow banning, etc. But let me just say something, that if you're going to kill a monster, you cut its head off and you cut its feet off, and then you carve up its midsection in the next several months. And that's what's happening now in Twitter. Elon Musk fired all the executives who are responsible for censorship, and we got a good description from their bios of how insidious they were and how corrupt their backgrounds and ugly their locations were. At the same time, you got a lot of low-level people exiting Twitter by the thousands. And it's funny that many of the legs of Twitter turned out to be robots. Soon after Elon Musk took over Twitter, it became known, and I think he permitted this, it became known that 30% of the accounts on Twitter were robots. So when they try to promote a public viewpoint, oh, the public is behind that. Well, no, it's the Langley robots. So Musk has done well in beginning to turn Twitter around. And the Twitter files, as you know, it's coming right up around the corner here. The Twitter files are turning out to be rather scummy in the details, and it has to do with Biden, his son, has to do with censorship, has to do with implications that, what's his name, Jack Dorsey, he may have to go back to the Congress and face perjury charges, but, you know, he perjured before a Marxist Congress, so the Marxist Congress is not likely to pull him in for charges of lying to a Marxist Congress for censorship issues. That makes no sense at all. Okay, so the Twitter files are going to be, you know, side by side with the Durham files and the D-class files and a number of others to just produce drip by drip and maybe bucket by bucket of insidious information having to do with the deep state to incriminate them, implicate them, and eventually bring them down. So I'm divided. I'm divided on Tesla. I'm sorry, on Musk. I got to add, and I've probably said this before, but some people might be new to your show. I was told about 6 or 8 months ago by a very well-connected client during a consult call that he had word from one of his old clients who he keeps in touch with that Elon Musk got a visit from the White Alliance top brass, and they told him, we've got a mission for you, and the first order of business is to take control of the Starlink network, satellite network, which is responsible for mainstream news. It's also responsible for international control of election fraud. It's also in control of, I think, like some missile, you know, GPS locations, things like that. Okay, that was one, take control of Starlink. The second thing he was told was to take control of Twitter. And remember way back, like 6 months ago or so, there was an offer, and it wasn't clear that Musk was going to acquire, and there was a dickering over the price. What's the acquisition price? Is it going to be a preemptive high offer? Will it be approved by the feds, the Federal Communication Commission and all those clowns? And it turned out that he took them over and cleaned house and got rid of a lot of executives. Okay, you know, you cannot fault this guy for his actions. But one after another client remind me of who his parents are. And then his demonic Halloween outfit, which was a stupid thing to do, but he might have done that as a requirement. Because I think Elon Musk has 1 foot in the cabal pond and 1 foot in the White Alliance pond. And this guy is running one of the most dangerous high-wire tightrope acts in modern history. So let's give him some time. He might be corrupt. I got one client who said, Jimmy's trying to reform Twitter so he can shut it down. Okay, maybe, but there's going to be a lot of competition. I don't buy that argument as proof positive that Musk is evil. I don't like his parents, either one. I don't like where he came from. I don't like his funding agent of Langley. I don't like any of that, but I'm watching his actions. And some of them might be apparently hypocritical, but let's just keep watching.
Can artificial intelligence be programmed for good or evil?
Well, sure. You can make computer programs to do insider trading, algorithm trading, bond fraud. You can use artificial intelligence to manage like something like the big database, the MERS, which was the Mortgage Electronic Registry System. You can do that for mortgage bond fraud. So you can do a lot of different financial market fraud, but you can also program it for good. It depends on what your criteria are. It's all, okay, you know, one of the really fun fields of probability for my background was asymptotic analysis, large system, large sample analysis. And that had something to do with my own doctoral thesis, which I don't talk about publicly, only that I have one. But optimization is a big part of statistics. What is the maximum likelihood estimator? Okay, you have to take the likelihood and then maximize it. Okay, what is the large sample distribution? Well, you take a limit as the sample goes bigger and bigger, you know, toward infinity. What is your criterion for this estimator? Well, you've got different criteria that are involved in certain weird classes of estimators that I did not get too involved with. I stuck with the classicals. But you know, there's an entire field of related, it's called optimization theory, and it's within, operations research. Okay, one of my best friends during my career was a fellow who had an OR, operations research. He had a master's degree from an Ivy League school, and he was smart as a whip. And in his coursework, he took some probability, because that is also at times related to optimization. Operations research is all about optimization. But, you know, they have constraints in optimization. Like you got this linear constraint that might manage some kind of pollutants or, you know, profit versus labor cost, whatever. And that's called linear programming. That's optimization. Then you got dynamic programming, which is something I'm not very well informed about, but I keep being told that it's got constraints, but they're bound in probability rather than fixed lines. It's like a moving wall according to a probability distribution rather than a fixed wall. Okay, so, you know, Jim, to answer your question more directly, it depends on how the artificial intelligence is programmed for its optimization. What we've got now is the big bankers and the globalists are trying to optimize death. Death by vaccine, death by starvation, death by food shortages, death by water shortages, death by diesel fuel shortages. So the cabal operates on a criterion based on harm, loss, and death. Let's turn that around to make it production, output, good health. You know, it's kind of funny, but some of the old African tribal doctors, witch doctors or whatever you want to call them, they're paid according to how few people are sick. In the West, they're paid according to how many people in high volumes are sick. Big Pharma's making billions off this deadly vaccine. And they're finally getting some really bad publicity, like the Monday night football game between Buffalo and Cincinnati that did not even get finished because a vaccinated player from Buffalo collapsed with a heart attack right on the field. in the second quarter. Okay. The optimization from AI, artificial intelligence, depends on the programmed formulas for being optimized. The constraints. What do we want to optimize? Do we want it to be good or do we want it to be bad? Depends on who's running the programming. Right now, Jim, we've got a good AI system, supercomputer working with the White Alliance, and it is at war with the Davos and the Cabal bad supercomputer. It's trying to optimize death. We're trying to optimize rescue of children. Defusing nuclear devices, optimize food production, and optimize life. That's the good side. The bad side, trying to optimize death, loss, harm, shortage, catastrophes. And that's why they're blowing up food processing plants and diesel refinery plants and trying to engineer strikes in the railroads. Okay, that's their optimization. All right, you get the idea.
Canada is pushing medically assisted suicide, also known as MAID, on its people. A number of veterans have said when they called up Veteran Affairs for advice about their depression, they were asked, have you considered suicide? Is this likely part of the depopulation agenda?
Absolutely. No question about it. In fact, how can you argue against it? In fact, what I find insidious is that they're extending it to teenagers without parental consent. That's where it crosses the line. Okay, obviously it crosses the line ethically because it's engineered death, and the Hippocratic Oath for doctors is do no harm. A doctor will lose his license if he assists in suicide, but he can bring about a protocol for treatment that has a very high likelihood of dying if it's according to the wishes of the patient. I'll give you an example. My mother had, in 2007, my mother had a brain aneurysm, a stroke. And after a while, the family, namely my father, my sister, and, you know, in place of my mother, they were asked, shall we stop the extraordinary means of extending life? In other words, take her off the respirator. They decided to take her off the respirator, and my mother died 36 hours later. Okay, so you can make decisions that enhance the risk of dying. It is a delicate process for those who are already on the edge at death's door. That does not include a vibrant teenager who's having trouble with dating and acne.
Does it look like the medical system is being run on political science?
Yeah, I think it's being run on Marxist, what's the word? Not theology, ideology. Marxist ideology. And this goes to the point that I made in the introduction. The political experts and guides out there are trying to define democracy, but it's looking a lot like fascism. The fascist state is all through the Biden regime. Everything they do is consistent with the fascist state. They've not done anything to deviate from that, and that leads me to believe that the White Alliance is showcasing fascism to the U.S. people so they can wake the hell up. I'm not a big fan of the American people for their intelligence level. I think if you stack up the top 20 former industrialized nations, the United States is somewhere between 18, 19, and number 20 on the list for education, knowledge, experience, degree holding, and expertise. They seem to be buying the woke bullshit. They seem to be buying the gender transition bullshit, and I think it's pathetic. But yeah, the medical system, let's just focus on the medical system. I thought the question was going to be, is the medical system being put on a path for its own self-destruction? This is the consequence, I believe, of the political science applied to the medical sector. You have a lot of resignations of people with a conscience and with knowledge of what this vaccine is all about. And you also have a lot of deaths, dead people who are working within the medical industry. You know, the medical industry is not just the hospitals. It's like all the other groups, you know, lumped in together. It's pharmacology, medical research, physical therapy, AI, artificial limbs, a lot of different things, a lot of different niches go into the medical sector, and most of them are being required to be vaccinated to continue. And this is, again, my belief that the White Alliance is allowing the medical sector to self-destruct. So the political science applied to the medical sector is one of self-destruction, because I think medical beds, med beds, are coming. In fact, I got 20 different indications that I don't wish to talk about, because I'll get off course.
Anthony Fauci retired at the end of 2022. Is he likely to get thrown under the bus?
There's only one name, but there are three different men operating as Anthony Fauci. One of them might be gone, caught long ago. I've seen profiles of the second one. He's got a different shaped skull on the profile. I have a feature in my collage of doubles, which has now had a recent addition. I've got about 20 different people in my collection of doubles, and there's an older, wrinkled-looking face compared to the original Fauci. I like to call it Fauci with an X, F-A-U-X-I, because F-A-U-X is French for false. I believe that there is a Fauci who appears at the U.S. Congress frequently, and that's not Fauci. I believe there's a third one who runs around, maybe on the other continent. I would like to catch these guys in the act where they're in two places at one time, and it is recorded. Anyone who thinks that there's only one Fauci is nuts. Anyone who thinks there's only one Pelosi is nuts. Anyone who thinks there's only one Gates is nuts. Anyone who thinks there's only one Klaus Schwab is nuts. Anyone who thinks there's only one Justin Trudeau is nuts. And we have a lot of people who are incredibly simple-minded and don't comprehend the use of doubles and clones. I don't wish to talk about clones. I'm only talking about doubles. My collection is large. It's interesting. And we just had a re-election of a double as the governor of California that is not Gavin Newsom. So, Anthony Fauci, will he be thrown under the bus? That's the question. How about I change the question? Will his name be thrown under the bus? And I think yes. They're going to be looking for scapegoats. They're going to be looking for individuals that they can say, he was responsible. She was responsible. That group of seven, they were responsible. All the rest are innocent. Let's give immunity to everybody else. So the question is going to be, who are the seven? Well, I think Collins at the National Institute of Health, Fauci at the NIH. I don't have the expertise to define and list the most culpable, but there are a lot of others who are in hidden laboratories, and I believe that they're underground. I believe that there are probably five different extremely powerful virus and other type of scientific biolabs operating under the United States surface. And again, most Americans don't understand that there are tens of thousands of miles of underground networks in the United States. My sister has laughed at me, and I don't argue with her. I say, it's something that you've not looked into, sis. She said, oh, whatever, whatever. Whatever is kind of an F-U of the new generation. Whatever. Okay, that's what the Valley girls say outside L.A. Whatever. Okay, yeah. So whatever is an F-U. I have told my sister, and this is a line that I've used a few times, not just with her, but with others, your lack of investigation does not qualify you as an expert. Your disagreement with this point does not nullify its validity. You ain't an expert. You don't know jack shit about brain surgery, so don't comment on it. Oh, but I don't think there are any clones. What do you know about clone technology? What do you know about clone centers, predominantly in Europe? Well, I haven't checked into it. Well, kind of like weather technology. You haven't looked into that either. I actually gave my sister a list of 50 patents from 1929 onward for weather control. And I said, sis, just browse through the list. This is 80 years old. Weather control. Puerto Rico, 2017. Three hurricanes in the same month. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, Fauci's name is going to be thrown under the bus, but he won't be the only one. It's going to be a growing list, and it's going to be exciting to watch. The biggest challenge is not to limit the list.
Evidently, 93% of NFL players have taken the experimental jabs. Were the jabs mandated by NFL teams?
It appears that way. I cannot get a solid answer on that question. It appears that way, but I believe a lot of them got placebos. Okay, it's one thing to order the injection. It's another thing to have the injection dangerous. And this Hamlin guy, he's a safety, a defensive back for the Buffalo Bills, and he's from my hometown of Pittsburgh. He's from a place called McKees Rocks, which is a little bit up the Ohio Valley, Ohio River Valley, and a lot of great football players have come from that area. But he apparently did not get a placebo. It looks to me like we might have the beginning of the NFL Players Union. It's called the NFLPA, Players Association. It could be that they are now beginning to become aware of the risk to their lives for taking any required vaccine injection. And let me just say something. These are big, strong, fast men. They're young, they're motivated, and if they think that they have been harmed intentionally, they're going to react. I would not want to be an NFL owner who approved of the injections, or the NFL commissioner, who I believe is a hand puppet for Las Vegas. I would not want to be an NFL owner or commissioner at this point. You should just take a long look at the criminal records of a lot of NFL players. Oh, golly. If it's not drugs, it's, you know, molesting women like Deshaun Watson, formerly of the Houston Texans, now the Cleveland Browns. You've got, Ray Rice beat up his wife or girlfriend. He was on the Baltimore Ravens. You got lots and lots of shootings. Ray Lewis of the Baltimore Ravens closely avoided a banishment from the NFL because I think he might have been involved in a murder case, but he was ruled not complicitous, so he got to finish his career at the Baltimore Ravens. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Okay, these are men who come from difficult backgrounds that are prone to violence. So, you know, if 100 of them get together and say, let's take care of business, I don't think this is going to be the end of the NFL. That's the next question. Let's just run this into it, Jim. I think there's going to be a lot of awareness that's growing. And I noticed something. I've been looking very closely. I've put out my feelers because I got a lot of sports buddies. I come from Ohio, and that's, you know, the middle name of Ohio is football. So I got a bunch of connections. And what I've already heard is the defense. It is inappropriate to mention the vaccine when it comes to this Buffalo player named Hamlin. Inappropriate and very bad taste. So what I'm noticing in my little sectional samples that I do of ESPN, they're reporting on the family factor. The family is getting a lot of support. They got what's the name of the funding?
GoFundMe.
GoFundMe.
Yeah, for his toy drive.
Yeah, his drive is for his medical expenses, but I think the NFL, that team will cover the medical expenses.
No, GoFundMe is for his annual toy drive. He had about $4,700 pledged, and now it's in the millions.
Did you say sleigh drive? What drive?
GoFundMe is a fundraiser. His page is for his annual toy gathering thing for charity.
Oh, toy. Okay.
Yeah, toy.
I know what GoFundMe is. I was asking, what is it for?
Yeah.
And you said it's for toys.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it
okay,
was
toy drive.
Yeah, below $5,000, and now it's no.
I thought you said sleigh drive, like,
no.
You know, one horse open sleigh. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's all fine. Okay. I saw some commentaries on ESPN just this afternoon because I flipped the channels. I'm trying to relax and unwind. It's holiday time. Still getting off that. And they talked about the wonderful quality of reporting from the field. of the anguish for the players, okay? How about a reporting of what they're talking about in whispers of whether it was the vaccine that did it? Then there were a lot of other conversations about all of the support. There's like an all-night vigil in front of the University of Cincinnati Hospital. Well, that's all wonderful. That's well and good. But are they talking about the vaccine? Okay, the conversation on the press with ESPN is about the social side, the family side, the reporting quality, and not the medical side. Have they talked yet about whether there are clots in his heart valves? No, that's going to be off limits. Okay, the doctor who administered his vaccine said that he did so in the first week of December, and it was a booster, and for the next several hours, he was strong as an ox. Well, golly, isn't the effect the next several weeks and next few months? Well, he invalidated the factor of vaccine by virtue of his condition in the next 2 or 3 hours. That's what I call bad medical practice. And I'm not even a doctor. Okay, so we're getting a degrading of the medical field when it comes to the defense of their killing field. I don't think the NFL is going to die out. The last thing they want to do is to cut down on the placebos and increase near-death incidents like this. I'll give you an example where we take it more to an extreme. Let's suppose that every Sunday in December, there were 3 games where someone had a heart attack and the game was not finished. How's that for the NFL image? People will stop buying tickets. People will stop watching the games, which won't happen. And the NFL will lose a lot of money. So they maximize the placebos and maximize the bullshit for justifying why this Hamlin had a heart attack, and apparently he died twice. That's what I'm hearing. He died twice and was resuscitated by fibrillation machinery, you know, devices. I don't think the NFL, and let's lump in the National Basketball Association. There have been a few deaths, and they've all been covered up. And if any NBA player talks about the deaths that have occurred, they're banned from the league. Okay, so, and you know, what's his name? Irving from the New York Nets. I think he wanted to talk more than he did. He got into some, you know, ethnic disputes that I don't wish to discuss further, but Kyrie Irving of the Nets in New York is a very outspoken guy, and he's got a strong spine and has my admiration. He's also a great basketball player. He's only about 6'1", too. 6'1", also. He's a great, great player. He played for my Boston Celtics. I don't think he liked it there. I don't know why. All right. Anyway, I don't think this is going to be the end of the league. I think it's going to be the end of certain policy decisions by NFL management, especially if they get hunted down.
Before evil rolled out the pandemic and the Great Reset, where you'll own nothing and be happy about it, do you think they knew the overwhelming majority of people are sheep?
Yeah, we're seeing it in spades. I'm often asked, Jim, what percentage of people in the United States and Canada do you think are sheep? And I say, I don't really know, like 40 or 60%. Most of them couldn't learn algebra to save their lives. There are a lot of uneducated people, and, you know, the American, I don't know the Canadian school system very well, but they sometimes pass them on to the next grade just to get rid of them. And before you know it, he's out of high school, and he can barely read and could not, you know, solve simple decisions at the supermarket on which is a better deal. But, yeah, I don't think it's overwhelming majority, but I do think it might be the majority of the people are sheep. And even intelligent people are sheep. I know a few people say, Jim, I don't want to get involved in that kind of discussion. I've got my work, and I'm very challenged with my work. I'm challenged with my, you know, engineering design stuff, and I'm challenged at my law firm, and I'm challenged with this, the business with my, you know, expanding my hardware business. I'm busy. Okay, so, you know, it's hard even to define sheep. I define sheep as someone who doesn't use his head and doesn't have a spine and goes along. The main characteristic of a sheep is goes along, part of the herd. Don't break away. Don't think. Don't be a critical thinker. Don't be an independent thinker. Don't question authority. And that's a lot of really educated people. So yeah, I think it's a majority, but not the overwhelming. What I dislike right now, Jim, is a phenomenon that's been going on for a few years. The best independent critical thinkers are labeled as disruptive and, you know, antisocial and unpatriotic and a lot of other things. And that's what they've been calling me. My father called me unpatriotic. My sister thinks I'm very disruptive and I always take the negative point of view. I say, no, you always dismiss the negative point of view without examining it. I have examined it. Therefore, my opinion is worth more than yours. Okay. The majority of people are sheep. You know, I just encountered a very nice friend of the family, a woman, and she got threatened 2 years ago. Child services called her up every day and said, you've got two kids and we're going to take them away unless you get vaccinated. I just thought it was unconscionable. She finally gave in and took two vaccination shots. And I asked her over the phone, what are you going to do about it? She said, can I meet you over coffee? I said, okay, but we, you know, we need a distance. We met over coffee. And I said, tell me your symptoms. She said, I said, what do you mean? I said, you don't know what a symptom is? Symptoma? She said, well, give me an example. I said, tingling at the end of your fingers, end of your toes. Yeah, I've got that. Something wrong with your neck? Just anything. Nervous, whatever, a crick in your neck? She said, yeah, I got something wrong with my neck. I can't turn. It's something, I don't know what it is. I said, are you sick often with the head cold? She said, yeah. And I said, well, how often in a, like a 3 month period, how many weeks in 3 months are you not sick? She said, oh, maybe two or three. I said, okay, well, you're chronically sick with a head cold. She said, yeah. So why'd you do it? She said, they threatened me. So, you know, that's a borderline. She's a very nice woman, not very well educated. And she believed me 2.5 years ago. I talked with her on the phone once for half an hour and gave her a lot of different reasons why it was not a real threat. Don't take the vaccine. It's intended to harm. She said, it's to give you AIDS? And I said, yes. Why would they do that, Jimmy? Okay, that's a borderline. Is she a sheep? I told her, let them threaten you. They will go away. And she said, I didn't think they were going to go away. They were persistent. So after 2 weeks, I took the vaccine. Unbelievable. Okay, that's a tough call. Is she a sheep? She went along. But, you know, when you threaten a mother to take away her kids, that is very serious business. Okay, let's move along.
We're just hearing the next pandemic from China has hit the shores of British Columbia. Could this be a cover for vaccine injuries?
Not a cover for vaccine injury. This is the next wave of a new engineered virus. It's early, but I'm not sure. It's beginning to look like the staging ground for introducing the next dangerous virus is China, and it's really easy to export it from China. There are a lot of Chinese in Vancouver, a lot of Chinese in San Francisco and Los Angeles, a lot of Chinese in Singapore, a lot of Chinese in Australia. What I think this might be, and it's early to say, but it deserves close attention. Bill Gates has hinted that there's another wave coming, and a lot of good medical researchers have determined that they have engineered a combination of smallpox and Ebola, and it's going to be much more deadly than SARS. SARS was a virus. They changed the name to SARS-CoV, like absolute criminal medical technicians, so there'd be more COVID as a disease. My sister calls COVID a disease. I've got friends who call COVID a disease. I say COVID is a fascist plot. The virus is SARS, which they changed the name of to SARS-CoV. Yeah, whatever, Jim. Yeah, Jim, you're disruptive again. You're thinking. Stop that. I think the Chinese might be introducing the next wave of more dangerous virus. And you're looking at it in British Columbia. We're looking at it in the United States and California. I'm sure there's a lot of Chinese in Seattle and Portland, but the real centers are Los Angeles and San Francisco for port of entry. I just heard this today from one of my really good medical researchers, a colleague, And he's all over this. He said, Jim, they're exporting by airplane in commercial flights the sick Chinese. And if the Americans or the Europeans or the Canadians object, they're called racist. So, you know, these medical fascists, they've got it all figured out. We're going to spread the Chinese version of the next virus by airplane. You can't stop it or else you're a racist. Drop the medical requirements, maybe relax the testing, and then after they're here, they get sick. And you increase the strictness of the testing after they're here. So you have more local cases and you have more pressure for vaccinations. By the way, the flu vaccine is the COVID vaccine. Don't take the flu vaccine. It's the same thing. These are medical criminals. Moving along.
What are you hearing on the push for mRNA jabs in livestock?
I don't hear a lot of stories, but I do hear some. For those who don't understand, the most dangerous of the vaccines is the messenger RNA. By the way, it stands for ribonucleic acid. DNA is deoxyribonucleic acid. DNA is the double helix. RNA is the components. And the M is for messenger, which goes in and does gene editing. It goes in and makes changes in your big double helix sophisticated library, and that library is largely responsible for making proteins. That's one of the major tasks of your chromosome structure, making proteins. Some of them are good, some of them are for, you know, building muscle mass, some of them are for antibodies, for fighting disease. What I'm hearing is that there is a growing movement to quietly and secretively inject livestock, that's cows, steers, pigs, swine, chickens, so that unless you're a vegetarian, you're going to get their components, which arrive in the form of spike proteins. Okay, when you get spike proteins, by the way, this is a very quick lesson, as I understand it, and mine is incomplete, but it's not, you know, immature, not primitive. A spike protein is basically a bunch of thorns shaped like proteins that attach to your arteries and veins and make you feel like you're infected. So you start all the different flu symptoms. That's your reaction. Your bodily reaction is flu symptoms. But the agent that is doing the harm is spike proteins. You're basically being poisoned and your reaction makes it look like you have the flu. Okay. They're injecting livestock because they're trying to get you where you're not looking. This is the universal plan. I think they're putting heavy metals in chemtrails. I'm hearing that they're putting viruses in chemtrails, but that doesn't work very well because it needs to be attached to an organism, needs to be part of a water molecule, you know, like coughing. When someone coughs in your face, they're giving you bacteria and virus loaded up in the water droplets, the micro water droplets, you know, that you wipe your face with. That's largely water and mucus. Okay. They're trying to get you where you're not looking. And yeah, I don't know how successful they are, but it's something to watch. Okay.
If enough people are killed off, is the pension crisis likely to be averted?
You know, that's a tough question. If enough people are killed off, the implication is that they won't be collecting their pensions. But if enough people are killed off, the investment nut for the pension funds is going to be deeply damaged, especially by the bond crisis from the derivatives. So it's a big mix. I don't look favorably upon pensions at all, whether people are killed or not. It's the economic damage that's going to harm the pensions. All right.
What are you hearing on the Arizona election?
Well, you know, we had a corrupt judge who, by all appearances, was given a decision to render, including the paragraph in summary for his ruling, a guy named Thompson. If you look closely, you'll probably see an Obama appointment several years ago. Carrie Lake tried to expose the lost custody for the vote counting. What it means is you got to know where the votes are, who's got, you know, the flash drive or, you know, the tabulation written form. Who's got it? Where's he going? Who's got it? Where's she going? Where are they going next? What office next? What office next? That's called the chain of custody. And it was totally broken. The success that Carrie Lake had, she was the victimized governor candidate who actually won but was declared a loser, and the court upheld the fraud. Carrie Lake succeeded in this court case of exposing the lost chain of custody for the vote and really embarrassed the court, embarrassed the judge, and this judge may see further action. I don't know. It's very hard to say there'll be repercussions on the judge because he can always tell the story that his daughter was threatened with murder and his wife was threatened to be gunned down also if he gave the decision in favor of Carrie Lake. Okay, so there's a lot going on with the deep state, and if you think that that kind of blackmail and threat does not exist, you are living in a different, stupid world. Carrie Lake is now making a different appeal for a change of venue, which means she wants a court in a different location, not Maricopa Valley, not Maricopa County, which is the capital seat. This is going to get interesting. What I think is likely, okay, I was asked immediately, what do you think of that decision? What do you think of that? And I said, my guess is that that court and judge in no way, shape, or form felt powerful or qualified to vote to make a ruling in favor of Carrie Lake. No way. And between the lines, he was saying, take this to the next appellate court level. So we might see this go all the way to the Supreme Court. I don't know. I'd like to see that happen, but it's going to be slow. I'm curious about how quickly Carrie Lake is going to take this to the next level. Moving to a change of venue will not solve anything. She's got to go up the ladder, not sideways. A very important point. I maintain that as Arizona goes for that governor race, so goes the nation. And mixed in with that interpretation is my belief that the Arizona vote will go to the Supreme Court.
Could the 2020 election be overturned?
I think yes. I really do. This comes, the answer for a particular person comes by evaluating risk and measuring faith. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, faith in the good forces prevailing. I'm watching closely this Brunson case, and, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit about it, but there's really not a lot that I can say that hasn't been put out there in very brief outline form. The Brunson brothers, in particular one, filed a complaint. They said that the Congress, led by the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, and the Vice President presiding over the Senate, they did not do their jobs and did not follow up on charges raised regarding election fraud for the November 2020 election, Biden versus Trump. Now, bear in mind that Biden might have been dead for that election. I don't know. There's a lot of rumor for that. It's like straight out of a crazy novel. Yeah, the president is dead. He just got elected. But this is how crazy and carnival-like the United States has gotten. Okay, the case is that many questions and objections were raised of potential fraud for the votes, for the compilation, tabulation, and presentation, and they raised that to the Congress, and they were all shouted down. They were overruled, and that is not according to the constitutional law and the requirement for the Congress. So they all might be dismissed and arrested for some level of treason. Okay, this is a case that's going to be heard on Friday or delayed by the Supreme Court. Let me just quickly mention a couple of extraordinary factors. The Supreme Court has not met for 2 years. They operate remotely, and this is partly for security reasons, partly because Washington, D.C. is walled off. There's nobody in the D.C. Capitol Center. Partly because some of them were threatened, partly because Clarence Thomas was a victim of attempted murder from thallium about 6 or 8 months ago at a Washington restaurant. He's the black justice, Clarence Thomas. Furthermore, John Roberts, I believe, and many indications are such that John Roberts has been confronted with murder conspiracy charges. That's not in the news, not even in the alt news, alternative news, for the murder of Justice Scalia so that Roberts could become the Chief Justice. So there's a murder conspiracy on the table that has not been presented to a court. I believe that is making John Roberts a good citizen for converting the court into an honest body. Okay, now for the actual case. It got locked up at the 10th Circuit Court for about 4 months, and then Brunson, I think his name is Loy Brunson, discovered that there's a Rule 11 that allows him to bypass the 10th Circuit and make a direct appeal to the Supreme Court for national emergency reasons. And when he did so, a very interesting thing happened. The 10th Circuit Court decided to pass it on to the Supreme Court and beat him and beat Brunson to the court by a day or two in order to avoid embarrassment. So there's a lot going on. Then the clerk for the Supreme Court made a request that Brunson make a few amendments in order to improve the quality of the case and complaint. That's unprecedented. And then another thing, the Solicitor General, which is, I guess, like an advocate for the defense, waived the right for the defendants to oppose. What? So Biden and Pelosi are ordered that they cannot oppose the charge of treason? What? Okay, so there are a lot of little factors involved. Then I heard, this is the last one. Before the Roe versus Wade case was taken up by the Supreme Court, there were a lot of rumors that they were going to take up the case, and their reasoning was to protect and strengthen state rights. And I made the case that, oh my gosh, they're going to do a Second Amendment for the you know, gun rights, the right to bear arms. And that did happen. And then they had a third case of West Virginia versus the Environmental Protection Agency. And that point was raised by a client or two of mine. Okay, so the Supreme Court had three cases that they sought out to strengthen state rights. And a legal scholar client of mine made a point last week to me and said, Jim, the Supreme Court sought out Roe versus Wade. They sought out the gun rights, Second Amendment defense. They sought out the West Virginia EPA case, and they sought out the Brunson case. And there's some little symbols here. It's kind of funny, but 20 years ago, these four brothers were part of a quartet of trumpet players. Trump players. Unbelievable. Okay, this is like scripted from a divine hand. Okay, I am optimistic, but I'm also realistic that I believe the justices are going to be threatened. And right now there's some really solid positive indications. And it's ironic. The New York Times is accusing the Supreme Court of being on the verge of establishing an imperial court. Are you kidding? They're about to defend the people. Imperial court? The New York Times is a rag all the way to the end of the fascist road. So yeah, there is a possibility that the election will be overturned from 2020. But Jim, there's also a chance that it'll be delayed and delayed again so they can remove the death threats by these scummy criminal global elite players. Unbelievable what is going on. I believe that the Brunson case will be part of the legal textbooks 30 years from now and overwhelm Roe versus Wade and overwhelm Brown versus the Board of Education, which is the segregation case. What do they call it? Precedent cases.
What's the latest on Ukraine-Russia?
Well, that's a very general question. I believe that Russia has already won this war. What we're left now is with Langley U.S.-based and British commandos doing sabotage and terrorist events, projects just inside the Russian border. They're likely to get caught. They usually do, but not all of them. This war is largely over. If you know, I have a little point in my December report that went out last week It's a point about depletion. I believe NATO is being depleted of its weapon and arsenal. There are complaints from high-ranking NATO generals that they're almost out of tanks, armored vehicles, javelin and Stinger missiles. They're almost out of all the key items, trucks, jeeps. They're all being destroyed. It's like 8,000 tanks, 6,000 different half-tracks, armored vehicles, troop carriers, and you know, like 10,000 trucks. Well, golly, what's left? So this is a war that I believe the White Alliance is permitting to come to conclusion with the complete destruction and depletion of the NATO arsenal that is largely funded by narcotics trafficking. That's what I'm hearing, Jim. And Mariupol on the eastern side of Ukraine was a gigantic child trafficking network node. Notice, I've mentioned this before, notice that it was about March of this past year, 2022, that the Russians announced that they destroyed the money laundering centers in Ukraine. I don't think they got them all. I think they got the majority of them, just like they got the bioweapon centers, biolab research centers, some of which were funded by the U.S. Department of Defense. 1 month later, the Biden regime announced aid for Ukraine. So they blew up and halted, the Russians did, the money laundering centers that funded, I believe, Davos and NATO. And the next month, Biden has aid for Ukraine. Okay, there's irony here, and it's really quite funny. Some of the weapons that go to Ukraine end up in the black market bought by the Russians. You know, it's sickening. I believe the Ukraine war will be permitted to continue to the conclusion in order to deplete and destroy NATO. And remember, what's his name? Schultz. Schultz, the male version of Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany. Schultz met with Lavrov. I might have been on our interview. I might have said that it was, that Schultz of Germany met with Putin at the Bali, Indonesia G7. No, he met with Lavrov, the, defense or state minister, top official Lavrov of Russia. He's not the finance minister. I think he's the minister of state. And what Schultz said to Lavrov was very telling. We need a new security architecture for Europe. In other words, NATO is dead. The White Hats are allowing Ukraine war to continue in order to destroy and deplete NATO. That's what I'm hearing. But we got some sabotage going on with British and American commandos. I don't know how successful that's going to be, but golly, that is a dangerous game to play. All right.
What's the latest on the push to censor independent and social media in the U.S., Canada, and other countries?
Well, I think the latest is it's gradually opening up. Twitter is, it's not without censorship, but it's a whole lot less censorship than it was several months ago. Facebook, I think, is a problem. I would not want to be Zuckerberg right now. He used his position to influence elections across many different states with what I heard to be something like $30 million in bribery. It was either $30 million or $300 million. I think it was $30 million, but I'm not sure. Okay, he's on the hook for that. I don't think Zuckerberg is going to be above ground for much longer, and what we're seeing as Zuckerberg might not be Zuckerberg. They've got a lot of games that they play, but he's got a really weird, unique-looking face, and that is hard to secure a double for. I think we're going to see a movement, Jim, across North America for a lot more open social media. And just look at these Twitter files. They are seamy, scummy, ugly, ugly. And it's not stopping. It's just getting more open.
President Biden visits the U.S. Virgin Islands and the Attorney General gets fired. What are you hearing?
I don't know much about that, but I will make my point that one by one, the Biden cabinet officers are vanishing. And by vanishing, I mean being arrested and put in the ground or going into hiding like in Canada or, say, the Netherlands or Belgium. Those are some favorite places. And where they hide are the most corrupt of all the different governments. I heard, for instance, and this got reinforced, that, for instance, Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary for the Biden regime, he was arrested and put in the ground. And he was replaced by a lookalike who continues the agenda. There's a fellow, I think his name at Attorney General is Garland, and he's hiding in somewhere in the hills of eastern Canada. And as you know, it's a big country. I've had the pleasure only once of visiting Nova Scotia, and I thought it was breathtaking beautiful, but loaded with hills and forests, easy to hide. Okay, there are a number of Biden regime officials who are hiding. We might be seeing one by one the Biden officials taken down and replaced. But when they're replaced, Jim, they could be replaced by a double to continue the agenda, or they could be replaced by somebody who's going to turn that department around. And so far, it's been mostly the former and very few the latter of turning it around. There are reports that Biden, the double, was killed in Bali, Indonesia. And I was on the high alert. I wanted to see, okay, let's see if Biden goes in, you know, goes into hiding and was not seen after the G7 meeting in Indonesia. But he came out, and it's a new Biden. Doesn't even remotely look like the other one. Not even remotely like the other one. He's got a fresher face, a better smile, fewer wrinkles. So they did a replacement to continue the agenda. I think they've got several Bidens. It's like an inventory. This is a joke. This is a fascist state with the revolving door of the leaders. This is a joke.
Are people that are up to date with their COVID and flu vaccines likely to take future vaccines without question?
I think they're awakening. You know, even sheep can get very worried and alerted. If a sheep sees that his buddy, sheep next to him, or his girlfriend, sheep, they call him ewes, E-W-E, if a sheep notices that his buddy or his girlfriend just got killed or got beat over the head with a hammer, even a dumbass sheep is going to wake up. My belief for the last year has been rather firmly that people are going to wake up when their loved ones are killed, when their friends are killed, when their sons and daughters are killed. But the denial is powerful. I've got one story. It's a friend of mine and his good friend in California took the vaccine with his wife, and his wife died 3 months later after taking two more boosters. She died. She had a heart attack and a stroke and cancer. Heart attack, stroke, and cancer, and she was not even 55 years old. The doctor said it was not related to the vaccine. So what does this friend in California do? He continues. He said, I'm going to get the most protection that I can get. Okay, so there's a sheep who had his girlfriend, namely his wife, get killed, and he did not wake up. So there's still plenty of stupid sheep. A lot of people don't suspect that the flu vaccine is the COVID deadly vaccine. They don't see that. They didn't suspect that. They don't know that, and they might not believe that. But if they have a friend who took a flu vaccine, so did his wife, and they're both dead, they might start being smarter, dumb sheep. Okay, the world is full of stupid people. The world is full of evil-hearted people, but it's also full of smart people, alert people, health-minded people, resistant people, like me. I resisted sexual abuse in high school. I resisted. I broke his hand. Did not get help from my father. My father is responsible for some of that. Jim, why are you speaking that way about a man who dedicates his life to teaching, a life of poverty, chastity, and obedience? I said, Dad, they suck dicks! In the rectory, come on! Oh, Jim, that's ridiculous. Okay, right. Let's get on. There are a lot of good people out there, Jim. They're awakening. I think they're majority. And they're seeing damage. There's something working at the subconscious level. I believe even this California buddy of my good friend, I believe he, at a certain subconscious level, knows that he helped to kill his own wife. He knows it, and he will not talk about it. And he latches on to the doctor's opinion that she had latent cancer, that she had some heart trouble 10 years ago. Right. And she had heart attack, a stroke, and cancer all at the same time, 3 months after the vaccination. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I'm not that stupid. At the subconscious level, Jim, across the land in U.S. and Canada, people are waking up. And to me, I think there's going to be a good side to this NFL football player and the incident. I hope he does not die. He's probably not going to be permitted to play unless he can put together a year of good health and stress tests. And you watch it. They'll stop the boosters. Or they might give him placebo boosters and claim that he got more and more boosters and he's fine. Okay, these doctors are Nazis. And they've joined the banker Nazis for a two-headed fascist monster. Nice way to close out.
Jim, where can people find out more and subscribe to the Hat Trick Letter?
Well, it's pretty easy to find. www.golden-jackass.com, or you can search for Jim Willie and it'll come up Golden Jackass and click on that. The newsletter, it's only one newsletter. I call it the Hat Trick Letter, but you know, it's a newsletter found on the Golden Jackass website. It's a monthly publication. It's going great, great guns. Doing very well right now. Obviously, I'm tired. I continue. I'm very motivated still, but I'm tired of the corruption. I'm tired of the abuse given to critical thinkers and conspiracy theory advocates. We got a joke now. All my conspiracy theories came true. What should I do next? Okay. There are t-shirts out there, that are about conspiracy theory being correct. A checklist of conspiracy theories, like 10 long. What's the next conspiracy theory that's going to be proved true in the next 18 months? Okay, but this is deadly. This involves killing the economy, killing your life savings, and killing your personal body. So I recommend people sign up for the newsletter. If you got specific questions that are urgent, certainly sign up for a consult. By the way, in the last 3 years, I just checked, I've done 420 of them in 3 full years. They were introduced in January of 2020. So I got 2020, 2021, and 2022, 3 years and 420 client consults that have been completed. It's fun. They're exciting. I shouldn't say excited. They're rewarding. They're fun. It's nice to help people. And I helped a lot of people in the last several months avoid buying a property. And I sure would like a tip. I mean a monetary gift. For all those people who had 200-something thousand, they wanted to buy a property, and I talked them into buying silver, which is rising. I think the property market is going to go down at least 20% from here, and I've heard that there are now offers routinely submitted to the sellers and their agents. The offers are $100,000 below the asking price, and people are pulling their homes off the market. But what they should do is take the offer, because in 6 months or a year, the offer will be lower. Okay, so golden-jackass.com, sign up for the newsletter. Got consulting possibilities too. Just make an order. I've been here. Jim, I have not been on a vacation in 6 years. I take these like 4-hour vacations. I know it sounds ridiculous. But I never get those 2 weeks where I didn't look at the screen. I don't get that. So I'm very dedicated. Every day I pick up more information. Every day I respond to clients. Just about every day there are new orders. I'm kind of a pleasant, benevolent prisoner to my office. So I'm here. Sign up. I do work every day.
Jim, thanks a lot. We've been chatting with Jim Willie, editor of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com.
Comments made on goldradio.fm are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at howstreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. GoldRadio.fm is a production of How Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer is Tom Allen.